One driver reported medevaced out of Juneau after an accident that blocked traffic on Back Loop Road for about an hour last night. Juneau police say the accident happened just before 7 o'clock at the Mendenhall River Bridge. A pickup driven by a 50-year-old man was headed eastbound on Back Loop Road when it crossed the center line and hit a sedan driven by an 18-year-old man. The driver of the pickup was treated for minor injuries at the scene and released, but the driver of the sedan had to be extricated from his vehicle before being transported to Bartlett Regional Hospital. Officers say the driver was shortly flown to an undetermined medical facility elsewhere. No citations issued in the accident. Police say they're still investigating the crash. No injuries reported after a boat fire near the Aleutians yesterday. The 154-foot vessel Glacier Bay reported the blaze in the engine room yesterday evening. The fire was put out, but the vessel's main generator was reported damaged. The vessel is now on battery power. 23 people reported on board the vessel about 60 miles north of Cold Bay. The vessel is essentially adrift. Another nearby vessel, the Clipper Epic, is standing by until a tug arrives from Dutch Harbor later on this morning. The group behind a citizens initiative to reestablish a coastal management program spent more than $100,000 on its nearly month-long signature gathering effort. Casey Kelly has more on the story.
Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello is chairman of the Alaska Sea Party and a primary sponsor of the initiative.
Well, we still have some bills coming in. Rough estimate is $100,000 to $105,000.
From the time it was founded in October to the end of December, the Sea Party reported more than $67,000 in income to the Alaska Public Offices Commission. It spent more than $59,000. Revenue and expenditures for this month are not yet available. The North Slope Borough gave the Sea Party campaign $25,000. Other major donors included the Bristol Bay Borough, the Bristol Bay Native Association, the cities of Valdez and Aleknagik, two community development quota groups, the Western Alaska Community Development Association and the Alaska Pribilof Island Community Development Association, as well as the Alaska Municipal League and the Alaska Conference of Mayors. The Sea Party's APOC filing shows the group paid Anchorage consultant Scott Kohlhaas $50,000, by far the group's largest expenditure. Botello says Kohlhaas, a 2010 candidate for State House as a Libertarian, organized the petition drive in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and the Mat-Su, which included using paid signature gatherers. He also provided verification services. Elsewhere in the state, the Sea Party used about 250 volunteers. The group delivered 34,000 signatures to the Division of Elections on Tuesday. By turning them in before the legislature convened, the group achieved its goal of giving lawmakers an opportunity to pass substantially similar legislation during the 90-day session. Botello admits part of that is a desire to avoid a costly campaign to get voters to approve the initiative.
We've been told that we should expect to be looking at a campaign of about $500,000. And of course, that doesn't take into account the extent to which there might be an organized opposition.
Lawmakers on Tuesday gave no assurances that they would consider a coastal management bill this session. The federally funded program, which helped industry and communities navigate the complicated federal and state permitting process for coastal development, closed last year after the legislature and Parnell administration failed to work out a deal to reauthorize it. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
When the director of the State of Alaska's office in Washington, D.C. retired a few weeks ago, Senator Lisa Murkowski took to the Senate floor to publicly praise John Katz. She went as far as calling Katz Alaska's fourth congressman for his 40 years of service in different positions advocating for Alaska's interests. Katz handed over the Washington office at the start of the new year to Kip Knutson, the new director of state and federal relations. Libby Casey sat down with Knutson and has more on the story.
The State of Alaska's office in Washington, D.C. is in a big building called the Hall of States, a short walk from the U.S. Capitol. go up the elevator and past the nondescript front door, and inside are walls filled with Alaskan artwork and a small staff of mostly Alaska transplants working on the state's behalf. They track scores of issues before Congress, the White House, and the courts. The office speaks with the governor's voice and listens with his ears. Director Kip Knudsen explains.
The first and probably the most important and what we should be spending our most time on is advocate for whatever helps the state the most, particularly on those priority areas.
Those priorities are filling the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline, transportation, education, public safety, and the military. Knudsen says the D.C. office also serves as a guide and social secretary for visiting members of the Parnell administration and as a liaison for all Alaskans coming to Washington.
And this is an invitation to your listeners as well. When they're coming to D.C., they should treat our office as a resource, and we can help them with navigating the various bureaucracies in the congressional process.
Knudsen says he's coming on board at a time when Congress and the White House are squeezing budgets and looking for savings.
Clearly, this city is in hunker-down mode. All anybody can think about is a shrinking pie and how to either, maintain or lose a little less of their slice of the pie.
Alaska's standing in Washington has shifted dramatically from a decade ago when earmarks were the normal way of doing business and the state raked them in. Now earmarks have a bad reputation among many quarters and are far harder to come by. That's diminished how much money Alaska gets from Washington. But Knudsen says resource development in Alaska could not only lessen the state's dependence on the feds, it could mean more money for Uncle Sam.
We can actually talk about growing the pie. Because through the use of our resources and the extraction of our resources, we think we can contribute to the United States' economic health and ultimately to the coffers of the federal treasury.
But the key is convincing federal agencies and administration officials to allow more natural resource development in Alaska. And that's been a bitter clash, especially in recent years. Governor Sean Parnell has had a contentious relationship with the feds. He hired Knudsen to run the Washington office. Knudsen says his goal isn't to fight with the federal government, but he can't ignore the differing agendas.
The fact that so much resource might exist in the offshore in the outer continental shelf has a tremendous impact on our future and perhaps on the life and the survivability of the pipeline. So when decisions are being made that aren't necessarily favorable to us, we take that very seriously. I don't want to say personally, but it's going to have a huge impact on the future of the state.
When John Katz retired from Alaska's D.C. office recently, he said partisanship and gridlock are at an all-time high in Washington. Kip Knudsen says the push-pull over natural resources coupled with the nation's debt makes this a prickly moment.
We are clearly dealing with more issues today probably than is historically normal.
Of course, not all Alaskans agree with Governor Parnell's approach to pushing natural resource development, but since he's the state's leader, his goals are Alaska's goals, and so they're Kip Knudsen's, too. It's not all battles, though, says Knudsen, who points to the efforts made by the Coast Guard to get heating oil to Nome as an example of a successful federal-state alliance. Knudsen comes to the Parnell administration from Tesoro, Alaska, where he was a lobbyist. He also served as a deputy commissioner for aviation under Governor Frank Murkowski and was a legislative aide for conservative Republicans. He admits he won't have the long run his predecessor, John Katz, did, and he doesn't have the long memory Katz took with him. But Knudsen hopes to bring his own brand of leadership to the Alaska, D.C. office. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.
Schools are back open in Bethel. All schools in the lower Kuskokwim School District were reopened yesterday. They had been closed for more than a week because of frozen sewer pipes. All schools should be functioning normally with the exception of Bethel High School, which might have some limited plumbing. Those at the high school will be able to use the bathrooms at the district office. That's just a short walk, but temperatures there were minus 45 degrees earlier this week.